podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Zero Pucks Given, in partnership with the Hockey Art Co and supported by the Her Game 2 initiative, presenting. We're catching up with the Cambridge Kodiaks. We've got the head coach, George Alley, and the captain. We've got Christina Ashley. How are you doing this evening, guys?
Good, how are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming on. We do like to put a little spotlight on the women's game in this country as it's growing so fast. And in terms of growing fast, you're a brand new team this year, and what a start you're having.
Okay, yeah, no, it's been a really great start. Kind of amazing to see from, I mean, I've only been here since about August, but since then it's been flying and the games have been amazing. But George has been around since the very beginning. He's kind of brought this to life with Kirsty.
Yeah, unfortunately, Kirsty Bard was going to be joining us this evening, but Ice Elsewhere has called. So, George, tell us a little bit about the sort of the ethos of the club and how it all came around.
It goes back a bit, so I'll try not to ramble. I do have to do that sometimes. But
that's what podcasts are for.
All right, then, long form. We're going long form. So Kirsty has been rink manager since the rink first opened 2019. Cool. And I've been there or thereabouts trying to get city ice hockey going for people involved in the city of Cambridge, not necessarily the university. The university already own the rink and have their own established clubs, but we've been doing a couple of clubs since the start, but really last summer we started doing our Learn to Play program, which led to the formation of the Cambridge Grizzlies. So shout out to Dave Potter and that group, firstly. And then at the beginning of the year, Kirsty wanted to start getting some just open sessions just for women going, because there's already a handful of men's rec teams, and that they are mixed, but there's no women-specific training sessions. And where I've coached women's clubs for, I used to coach Chelmsford Cobras, she asked if I would help get involved. It started as open sessions, and suddenly some players who were already playing in the league came along. So I just said, do you want to enter the league and see what happens? We'll just run some tryouts and see who comes along. And before we knew it, we had a handful of players come over from Peterborough, a handful of players skating with us from Chelmsford. And since then, a couple have also joined us from Milton Keynes. And we saw we had enough to enter the league. And obviously, it was great that the other clubs voted us in. And it's been growing ridiculously since then. We're very fortunate that Cambridge is the kind of city that attracts a lot of people who... There's a big North American contingent in Cambridge as well. And we haven't actively gone and recruited any players. They've just come to us. And I'm not joking when I say that. We've just been very lucky with those who approached us. So when players like Christina and Sarah Carvenan, who joined us from Peterborough, just say, oh, I live locally, can we come for a skate? You can't really believe your luck. And we've done very well out of it so far. We've had it, I wouldn't say we've gotten lucky. We've been fortunate to have a very good group of people join the club as well. I coached NIHL and Women's League, and I don't think I've seen a better dressing room.
So with Cambridge, the ice arena that you've got there, and obviously, so, as you say, starting with the Grizzlies, the youth setup, their jerseys are quite famous across social media. The sort of the green checked suits that they wear, that's an incredibly playful thing. Where did the idea for the Kodiaks came around? What's the sort of the bear initiative in Cambridge? Where did the bear come from?
So the team name was voted for just before Christina joined us. There's a couple of parents of kids who play for the Grizzlies, and it sort of came with that. The alliteration works, Cambridge Kodiaks works quite well, but it was mostly off the back of the fact that there are kids whose mums are involved in the club, and it just kept with the bear theme.
Yeah.
To be honest, obviously, we chose to go, in terms of colours, we chose to go with the City of Cambridge's colours. So if you look at the badge that sits behind the bear, it's based on the city's coat of arms.
Yeah.
And that was the decision I chose to make, mostly because it's easier to get navy blue shorts and helmets in as well as a base colour. But also, there's not many teams in this country actually wearing red, blue and gold. But yeah, But yeah, those Grizzlies jerseys are quite loud, aren't they? But the kids voted for them, and they love them.
And of course, the club is doing great with the social media stuff, like the TikToks and everything. They're really entertaining to watch. And when I had Lucy Spalton and Faye Andrews on, and we discussed the sort of the growth of the women's game, that's been a massive part of it, hasn't it? Is actually showing on social media that this isn't, you know, this is a group of women that can come and have fun, but also play in a competitive league, a competitive sport, and all enjoy themselves.
I mean, 100% social media is going to, it's the way that you can move things forward really easily and get people engaged. I mean, podcast, and you do a really great job with your social media too. So you obviously know the importance of it. But
yeah,
I think we've been really lucky in that, like George said, we've got this incredible group of girls. So to be able to show that off and show like just how amazing all of our players really are and how much fun you can have with the game while still being competitive, while still winning games and putting up points. It's kind of been clutch with social media and with moving things forward.
Mm. And you got a great win this weekend, didn't you, against Streatham Storm?
Yeah, that was epically good. George gave probably one of the best coach talks between the first and the second. We were able to turn things around really quick. So it's a nice win going into Christmas, that's for sure, especially against a team like Streatham where you just kind of don't know where you stand when you step on the ice with them because they can be really tough.
Yeah, that's one thing that a lot of people that are in – that will watch women's hockey, it's a lot more competitive than a lot of people give it credit for. Occasionally you get the odd team that are just incredibly good and they will stick quite a few goals past a lot of teams. And you do get a few shutouts at the women's level, which must be fantastic confidence for your netties when they're getting shutouts. But and your first game, 200 people in the Cambridge Ice Arena for a win against the Sirens, that must have been incredible.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun to step on as a player. Sorry, George.
No. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying as a player, that was really fun to step on and see because you don't, even in places like Canada and Sweden and Switzerland, you don't see a ton of support for women's games like that when it's a paying game on top of that. So to come into a first home opener for a team that's brand new, that's actually charging when nobody else does at this level, and putting that value behind women's hockey and have 200 fans was a really nice feeling. Like, it was a huge boost of confidence.
Mm. Did it not add on a tiny little bit of pressure, perhaps for you, George, a little bit of thinking, like, we need to keep these in now, we need to put a show on?
You could harp on a joke. So I'm a Lee Valley boy originally, so I'm not used to crowds. Someone will make that joke early, especially at the new rink. But we made a point of charging on the doors because in the end, we're trying to get a bit more parity for women's club. We're trying to, you know, grow the integrity of the women's game. We're trying to grow the integrity of the league. And don't get us wrong, we are fortunate that a rink manager is involved in the team and gives us fairly good ice opportunities. We still have to make our money back. We are still, the players are still paying to play for us. We have to find ways to make this affordable because if you want there to be parity in women's sport, in women's ice hockey over here, you have to start treating it not as second class, not like junior games get treated. You have to start treating it like NIHL games, not necessarily NIHL national. You have to be realistic and say it's not going to pull the same figures financially as those leagues do, but you can set, if you start to treat your teams and you start to treat your players like an NIHL team, then in the end, it will draw the interest regardless, I think, regardless of what people think of the standard of women's hockey. If you treat them the same in that you give them ice cuts between periods, I think we're the only team in our league that possibly do it between the first and the second period. The third period, it just doesn't happen now. Whether that's because we are in WNIHL2, and obviously there's a lot of second teams who are, you know, they're struggling to get their ice time done within an hour and a half because they can't afford to pay anymore. That's fair. Streatham, for example, it's a 2.5 minute break in between periods, and I think that, you know, that catches a lot of people off guard. I realise I'm rambling and I'm getting away from the point. we are trying to make it, we are the senior league team in the rink now, regardless. So obviously you've got the university sides, they are a relatively big deal. They don't charge, obviously rec teams aren't going to charge for their games, but we are the introduction to league ice hockey for a lot of people in Cambridge now. So, and personally, I think most every team in the Women's Elite League in this country should be charging. They've got the biggest selling point of any team under the IHA umbrella, in that they've got more GB players represented in that league than NIHL National and NIHL 1, whether it's, you know, GB20s or GB under 18s. They are, GB seniors are being represented in the Women's Elite League. Mm-hmm. And I'm not one to go talk about marketing and branding. That's Christina's job. But it's a big selling point and it should be utilised better. And if us charging on the door means we set a standard for other teams to go forward and do it. So we haven't said it publicly, but I'll go and do it now. Our first two home games, we paid off our ice time because we charged on the door. We charged on the door and we did a 50-50. We don't have any merch going at the minute. We're still trying to get used to just running a hockey club. Mm. But we've paid off our ice time.
That's brilliant.
So whilst some of the players joked, oh, where's my paycheck then? I then had to remind them that, you know, we still had to pay the refs. But it's a start. We're now making a dent in it, in our costs, just by having games.
Yeah.
And it has to start somewhere. Eventually, it would be good to see Women's Elite League teams, you know, playing to the same standards as NIHL 1, for example, where they're playing for free. It should be a goal. And whether that's because there's a few people incumbent who think, oh, it's women's ice hockey, it will always be the same, you can't make any changes, I call bullshit on that. I think you should be trying to grow it as much as possible. I'll stop talking in a minute. There was one conversation I had with someone who said, oh, well, we're worried that if we charge on the door, it would scare off the people who started coming to watch us. We started to get 100 to 200 people coming to watch us, but we make a couple of hundred quid on the cake sales. And whether it's me trying to master it or whatever, but I just say, oh, so the cakes are more valuable than your time and effort on the ice.
Yeah.
It's good that people are able to get these things done and do raffles and raise money that way. But people aren't going to your games to watch, you know, to eat cake. They are going to watch women's ice hockey. So why isn't that the selling point?
Yeah, even if it's a couple of quid, if it's 100 people, it's 200 quid, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, say we're charging £4 for adults. Here comes the pitch. £4 for adults, free for concessions, two for under 14s and under 10s go free. We only, on our first game, we had a lot of people come, like, off a bit of a, we had a few people come in with a flyer, but we still had enough people to pay off our ice time. And if that's what's going to happen going forward, then I'm absolutely not going to change that policy.
No. And there is changes coming in the English Ice Hockey Association as well in the new year, whether women's ice hockey should be a big push as part of it. Christina, over the pond in your native land, we're seeing the first professional women's league going on in North America. Do you think the success of that could play a part with the sport growing over here?
100%. It took 4 years for them to get that off the ground, and that was 4 years of hard work traveling around the country. These are women that have been putting in time consistently while working second, like another job, a full-time job on top of that. So now you have a league where you can just focus on playing hockey, which means the growth of the sport is going to explode, and the speed and the skill and the level of the sport, which is already incredibly high there, is just going to keep going. And that'll have a ripple effect because now it means that there's a place for players to aim to go to. So you're not just aiming to get into a university team now, or hopefully maybe go to Sweden or Switzerland, where they do give you a small paycheck, or at least, you know, help you live with housing or kind of day-to-day expenses. You can actually aim to now be a professional hockey player. That's what you're doing, and you don't have to rely on sponsorships. You don't have to rely on all of these outside factors. So that means that from anywhere in the world, you can do that. So why wouldn't you start expanding that? Why wouldn't you start growing? So I think it's definitely going to have an impact over here. It's neat to see in France, for example, where I played before, there's already women that are talking about, there's already players that are going on, like they want to excel. So they're going to like Switzerland, for example, for more camps, for more games, because they want to get into the PWHL. They want to be playing there later on. They want to kind of follow that journey. So already you can see it happening over here. And there's tons of players that just signed. I know that there's like three players that have signed with Montreal from the Czech Republic, from Sweden. There's one from Switzerland. So absolutely, I can see it coming over this way. And I hope it takes off in the UK, because there are some incredible, incredible players in the Women's League that deserve that spotlight and that chance to kind of keep going further.
Yeah, I think you've only got to look at the amount of the young, the young Great Britain players that have progressed through the 16s, the 18s, the 20s, into the seniors. Some are now playing university hockey out in the States and getting them over here. But the recent trips that the GB ladies made to Korea, I don't think the results were brilliant, but performances were certainly quite good. And when I've spoken to some of the ladies that have played in the seniors, I think over here, especially with British people, it's going to be Olympics. They've got to make it Winter Olympics. And then obviously the BBC will be behind it, trying to get a little bit more media behind it. But as we were just saying, if the PWHL in North America can at least entice some girls to start playing, it's, I mean, you could be looking at, in a, you know, a year or two, the Kodiaks need a second team.
I mean, when I was a kid, that was your goal, was the Olympics, right? It was get a scholarship, go to a D1 school, or go to like a really high Canadian university, play, get into the Olympic team, get into the Team Canada round, and play for the Olympics. That's your kind of like dream goal, where you want to go at the end of it. And now you have, my niece, for example, is like, well, no, I want to play for the Ottawa PWHL team. That's my goal right now, right? Let's get there. So I can only see that happening elsewhere too. If you have something to look up to and you have something to aspire to, it makes you work that much harder, because you know it can be a reality. It's not just a dream. It can actually happen for you. So, I mean, if that ripples all the way down to the Kodiaks having a second team, which I could absolutely see happening, because the amount of interest that we still get, the amount of players that come out just to skate that aren't necessarily joining the roster but want to see what it's about, is already there. So if that impacts it, that'd be, I mean, I'd be over the moon. I'm sure George would be over the moon and slightly nervous about taking on even more of it. But
we're going to need another coach.
Yeah.
No, and I'll stop there. So we've got two assistants who stepped in, Matt and Alex, who are novice coaches but have developed incredibly well. And there's plenty of coaching potential within the Kodiak squad as well. So I think we're very well set up for the future. The issue is sustaining it, I guess. It's making sure that we're able to get people developed. And so the Women's League has been very accommodating in making sure that its teams can get their coaches up to scratch. There's been a real palaver with just getting people to do, you know, getting their badges sorted out in the last couple of years with the strong, stable nature of the IHA, that it's been a bit confusing whether or not we can look after us. You're going to have to do some editing, Ben, sorry. it's people being confused as to what it takes to be qualified to be a coach. And it's fair to say it's been made a little bit more difficult year on year, with whether it's completing CPD stuff off the ice or adding levels of coaching qualifications to it. It's difficult to find it's difficult to find the appeal in keeping going, but if you've got a bunch of people who are enthusiastic enough, that's enough of a driver to keep it going. And I obviously don't want to be running this team forever. The whole reason we set this club up was to hand it over to the women it was created for. I was asked to coach because I've got coaching experience, but medium to long term, I don't want to be running this team. I want people like Christina to be running it. I want people like Kirsty to be managing it. I want people like Sara to be coaching those kids who will come through. There are girls who are in the Grizzly setup who I'm sure at some point we would like to be bringing into a future under 16s team or into a development side and then step up into the Kodiaks. But we have to start somewhere. We're just very fortunate that we have a lot of people who are interested in us, and whether that's because we've made a bit of noise on social media or because we've got a good group, and I think it's more the latter. I think we've got a fantastic group of people who are in the team, because it shouldn't be down to what I'm doing necessarily. It should be down to who's on the ice, and we've got a really good group of people.
Yeah, but you said at the start actually about the room and how good the room is. What's the best ingredient? What's the main ingredient for that that's made it so good?
It's the people. It's honestly one of the best groups of most players and coaches and managers and basically volunteers, everybody involved in it, that I've ever encountered in hockey before. There is something incredibly special to be said about the fact that you walk into the room and you instantly feel at ease, and you know it's going to be fun. Everybody wants to win. They want to do their best. They're going to give their all at all times. Whether it's a good day, a bad day, it doesn't matter. They're there to show up, to play, to have fun, and take care of each other, which doesn't always happen in hockey. It can become a very egotistical or selfish sport, and that has not happened at all this season, at all in any training, just period. And it's down to the people is what it is, and the atmosphere that they create.
How much training do you get?
So we train Monday nights, and then we have off ice on Wednesday nights. Some of us do like elsewhere where we can get ice time, kind of just to get more on the ice. But again, most of the players are, and the coaches and all the volunteers, right? They're working regular jobs. They're raising their families. They're doing things outside of this. So the dedication that they have to make sure that they're coming down, and especially the people that are traveling a long way, like Milton Keynes, coming from London, coming from different areas. It's been, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think I've ever been with a group that's this, not just great, but like has something to it. There is something really special about it.
Yeah, everyone seems very sort of committed to the cause.
100%.
So what was the ambition to start with? Like, sort of, was it small goals? Sort of get through a first season with able to roll sort of two or three lines every game, get some wins, and then start looking forward as bigger roster, aiming for playoffs, that sort of stuff.
Yes. Sorry.
I answered the question that I said there, really, didn't I?
Well, I mean, to be honest, when we first started, it was just, you know, have a year of just getting people together and maybe we'll see if we can get a team together. And then it just, I mean, it's very cliche to say, but it really did snowball. It started with, oh, this place is quite good. We should play Peterborough. Why is she coming to us then? Oh, you live locally. Oh, that's good. Oh, and you as well. Oh, and it kept going. And then it turned out we had a very good goalie in the rec ranks who was just happened to be local. She was interested. And then it turned out another goalie is in the just happened to move to the area, who's, you know, ex-GB and played in the Women's Elite League fairly regularly, Holly Steeples. Just these people are just popping up. So come July, when league application deadline comes around, it turns out we've got half a decent squad. Once we'd actually confirmed that we were entering the league, it was just a case of, let's just be competitive. Let's just enjoy playing. Because I think, as Christine's already stated, the room just likes each other. Everyone just gets on fantastically and they genuinely care. And then we go and beat the team that's come down from the Women's Division 1, and now there's expectations and challenges. But because the Women's League is so spread out in its games, you do literally have to take it on a game-by-game basis, because it's not like NIHL where you've got two games a weekend, you're just trying to make sure that no one's banged up the next day. You can afford to set higher standards in training, make sure people are prepared for the next game. And so now our next game is a big derby with Peterborough, which is spicy because we've obviously picked up a couple of their players and they came to us. We didn't recruit them. We now have to set we've possibly put a target on our backs by, you know, beating teams like Slough, by beating Streatham, who have been a bogey team for everyone in this league for as long as I can remember. And it's just game by game. If we are in the mix by the end of the season, that would be great. But the main thing is that we grow interest in the club first year. We just have to make sure that we're not, you know, running out of money and then having to ask the players to pay even more for ice time. Thankfully, we're not in a Planet Ice building, so we're not going to be getting charged too much, but just thought I'd get that dig in there.
I was going to touch on that, actually, about your facility, because obviously you're a GLL facility. Is that running well? Because obviously we all know the problems Planet Ice have had in recent history.
Let's go. Right. We don't know what the outgoings are of the rink, because it's not our job to do that. I have sometimes been asked whether I can put someone in touch with someone at the rink. People occasionally think that I work there, but I don't. Kirsty would be the best person to answer that, but I'd say the rink is doing okay. I'd say the rink is doing absolutely fine. It still has time to actually have a maintenance day where they let the ice settle, which I'm pretty sure certainly didn't used to happen at the old Lee Valley. If there was space, it was going to be a public session in there. Yeah. But they are making enough money, as far as I'm aware, to be able to look after the ice and still give their staff non-ridiculous hours. I don't think there's any sessions that go past 11 p.m. usually in the building. It's community first there. It's not a financial powerhouse that Planet Ice is, but also the rink's in good condition for the most part.
Yeah, no, that was kind of really what I was aiming the question at, was that your rink is in good enough condition and it's doing for you what you need it to do without it being a burden in any way.
Yeah, the rink is, the stability of the actual building comes first over the finances. I think that's what we're trying to get at here.
Mm. With regards to the level, obviously, Christina, you've played all over the world. How does the level in the UK, especially at the Kodiaks level and maybe even above, how does it rate up?
Yeah, I mean, it's competitive, which is great. I had no idea what I was getting into when I stepped into UK ice hockey, like not a clue where I would stand, any of it was like. So it was a nice surprise to see that there is a really great mix of players and of levels that they've got. I think the elite level, obviously they've got some really great players in terms of GB and going like that. I think it can definitely be pushed a little bit more. And I think a lot of that comes from giving it more spotlight, giving it more time, putting more effort kind of into developing the women's game and giving people outlets so that you have more training sessions or things that are geared towards the women's game specifically, because it is a much different game than the men's game. Mm-hmm. But it's been a treat for me to get back on the ice and play. And especially with the group that we have, there are some really amazing players, and there's some players that are developing so incredibly quick that you can't even believe that you're watching this happen, because you're seeing people that at the start of the season had no confidence and now have this incredible amount of confidence, and their game has just exponentially gone up. So I think that the level in terms of, I mean, comparing, you can't compare with something like Canada or Sweden, where they've had those programs in place for years, for decades, and that's been a focus for them. But you can see the more effort you put into it, the more time you shift towards it, the better it gets and the more it develops. And I think that's something that the UK has, is a massive amount of potential for the women's game to just explode if they give it a lot of love and care and attention.
Is there anything specific that you think the EIHA, for example, need to do to grow the sport?
Start developing the girls' league. Start early. Start earlier than under 16. Start providing camps that are girls-focused. Start looking at things like power skating and building in and giving them more time and more training and the opportunity to go out. Because a lot of times when I was younger, if I played with the boys, it was fine. I have brothers. It was kind of normal. But not all girls are like that, and not all situations are kind of catered towards being able to play in a mixed league. You might feel more comfortable elsewhere, but there's also different things you can focus on. And if you're giving them a specific outlet and a way, a route to kind of get to where they need to go, and at the end of the day have that goal of, wow, look at this elite team that's treated like a men's team, that's treated like a professional team, then you can kind of put them through that and you can develop them as they come up rather than catching them here and there from where they are and making them have to go out and find their own place, create a place for them from the very beginning, have them someplace to start with. So I'd say definitely look into doing that. You have to get more girls interested before, like, there's a lot of barriers for that. So getting more people interested is the other part. And then the final piece is definitely, like George said, put more spotlight and more value on that elite league. You have to start somewhere. Just because it might not be what people expect from a national game or any top league game, if you don't start putting that expectation there, nobody can ever meet it. If the expectation isn't there, if the bar isn't set, then you don't have the challenge to rise to and you don't feel like you have the support and the belief to get there. So if you do that first, then you're creating that ultimate goal, which then trickles down. So you've got, you know, the 7-year-old girl that wants to play hockey. She has someone to look up to. She has somebody that she goes, hey, I can do that. I can go there. That can 100% be me. But that just doesn't really exist culturally right now in the UK for hockey.
Yeah, I think it's getting there. The Her Game 2 initiative is brilliant because obviously we had a bit of an explosion with the football, with the Lionesses winning the Euros over here. That got a lot of girls interested in sport. Boxing is flying in the UK with girls. Football is flying. I don't think hockey's too far behind. I think a lot of girls will enjoy the kind of the physical element of playing hockey. One of the things that I actually enjoy about watching women's hockey is one of the same things I enjoy about watching women's football, because it's not quite as fast and quite as physical. You can actually appreciate the skill in the stick handling, which you don't really get to appreciate at the men's hockey too much because it's so frantic. And it's only sort of certain players, when they start to move, you can think, oh, God, yeah, they're really good. But when you see the women players that have that ability and they have the time to show it, it's fantastic to watch.
Christina will attest that it's not entirely without body checking. She got someone tried to hit her at the weekend. But having coached both men's and women's, the main difference isn't so much like the speed element of it. It's the tactical awareness. And in that, there's a lot less variation in the size of the players in the women's game. So you very rarely get a player, unless you've got a women's elite league player stepping down to WNIHL2, you're not going to get that often. You're not going to have one player necessarily get away with dominating in that. You have to rely on your team's tactics. You have to rely on actual technical ability as opposed to just being able to bulldoze through people. That's certainly been the thing I've noticed. You have to be far more on it with your tactics in the women's game. And that, there are their differences, but actually the women's game can be as fast and physical, but it's just, there's a much more tactical element that I've seen, particularly having coached players who've gone on to play, well, who were playing in the Women's Elite League at the time, though they got to step down to Chelmsford when I was coaching there. If you've got your tactics on point, it can be a real difference maker, but yeah.
Yeah, almost sort of playing with plays. So you've got a certain sort of plays with certain lines that you can play.
Sorry, you broke up a bit there. Could you repeat the sentence again?
Yeah, of course. So when you'd set up tactically, you'd have certain plays that certain lines would sort of go through.
Yeah, I'd say so. I mean, we're quite fortunate that we have enough top-end players in our team that we're able to spread the depth throughout. Because especially in WNHL2, you do have quite a range of abilities. We've been able to give debuts to players who are teenagers who've come from our Learn to Play program, who only started skating and playing hockey last summer. But then we've got Christina, who's won the French league, won the Swedish league, and we're able to spread them around. But on top of it, protects those players on the ice, but it also means they've essentially got a teacher on the ice to work with. And so whilst there are some set plays for, you know, say the power play line, when I basically put my best players out on the ice, we can run that. we're able to just make sure we're getting the basics right. And then if we are lucky enough to go up the leagues, then we will increase what we're doing tactically, because that's when it really starts to have a big impact.
Yeah, yeah. And then, so moving forward, then give us a little plug for your next game, because obviously we know in the women's game, they're not, as you said, you're not getting two games a weekend. They're a little bit few and far between. When's the next time that people in Cambridge can come and see the Kodiaks?
You're up, George.
I'm up, am I? You should be doing this.
Well, okay. I mean, I can. That's
I
so
saw
fine.
George frantically searching on his computer, I think.
No, I know when it is. I've done the fixes. I've been half running the social media for the last 4 months.
Played Peterborough on January 6th.
Oh, so this the local derby that you were attesting to.
Which I am told is going to be an excellent game. I get incredibly excited for game day regardless. We could be playing toddlers and I'd still be really excited. I mean, it doesn't really matter who's on the other end of that, but I've heard a lot of really good things about Peterborough and that they're a really tough team. So it should be a really good matchup. And it's a great way to start the new year, I think, at least, and start kind of a really busy half of the season for us. Starting in March, we've got games for 7 weeks straight, I think it is, every weekend. So
oh, that's great. That's
getting
great.
That kind of out of the way will be fun.
As an experienced player yourself, what does game day look like for you? And have you tried to sort of rub that off on some of the younger players and the less experienced players?
I mean, when we get to the rink, there's a set cadence that we go through in terms of, you know, George comes into the dressing room, talks to us. We do off-ice training. Some of that is we're tweaking it a bit to fit what works for the players here and kind of the experiences that they've had, because a lot of them might not have had those experiences before. In terms of personally, my whole game day has its own sort of cadence to go. It's been thrown off a bit with having kids now around the house, because there are things that you just can't, kind of, set yourself up to be in the mind of going on the ice from the very wake up, but you can kind of start leading into it as you go throughout the day. But yeah, I have lots of different rituals and things that I've done for years. I mean, I've played hockey for far too long to not have them.
Now, I was going to say, a lot of the players do have some of the most incredible superstitions.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah. I have, specific jewelry and things that if I don't wear, I'm like, this is going to be a horrible game. It's going to be terrible. I can't wear it on the ice. Can't take it, but it has to come to the rink with me. Or, songs that you listen to or things that you do before you step on the ice, ways that you take your stick, all of it. It does become a really odd ritual superstition. But I mean, 80% of your game is mental. It's not just the physical aspect, right? You've got to get in that headspace. So I think that's probably why I like game day so much, because the whole day is just, it's about the hockey and you can kind of just really sink into it.
Have any of the lesser experienced players then mentally struggled with performing on game day, especially by having, a fair good crowd in there? Do they feel the pressure? Have you helped anybody sort of settle any nerves with that?
I know that our first game, there was a couple of nerves for sure, including myself. I get nervous before every game. That never goes away. There's been some nerves, but it goes back to just how incredibly special this team is, because every single player in that room helps each other out. So you can tell when somebody else is struggling, you can tell when somebody else is nervous, and whether it's they start cracking jokes or they're giving advice or they're just there to just be there and make sure that you know that you've got a teammate and you're not by yourself. This is not all on you. This is a team sport and we're going to take care of each other. That's been incredible to see, especially with some of the younger players that are will get into their head and go, I don't know what I'm doing. You do know what you're doing and you've got all of us to support you with that. And we're not going to let you fail. And that doesn't come just from the leadership team. That comes from every single player in that dressing room.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, and what is the music in the dressing room? Because a lot of the guys like country and there's some sort of strange rock and occasionally a bit of weird D&B rap in there. But what's in your room?
Surprisingly, there's no country on that list, George. That's what I'm realizing. George, good. Whether it was a brilliant or terrible move, oh, you said good. Now I'm going to add some. Whether it was a brilliant or terrible move, set up a team Spotify that we can all just kind of toss our songs onto. And there is definitely a huge eclectic mix between some heavy rock and old school Taylor Swift. It runs the whole gamut of it,
We put well, it
how
on
old school Taylor Swift?
Because
old school Taylor Swift is country.
Not so far back as to the beginning, but like that sort of transition period. But we put it on in the car on the way to Stratum, and George was in the back, and I think we might have scarred him for life with some of the playgrounds that were coming through.
Don't worry, I got to impose some of my music taste on them as well, and they were not grateful.
What's in there from you, George?
Well, I don't think there's enough black metal, personally. But no, there's like
just in general, I agree with
just,
you.
Just in general.
There's got to be some Cradle of Filth on there somewhere.
No, they're too mainstream. No, my taste is varied, but I just tried to put like a couple of bands that I knew that were, you know, women led for the most part, a couple of like other songs that I like. Yeah, some that were just, I like this song, I'm putting it in there. But then everyone else, once you open it up to the room, you're very quickly getting, you know, Lose Yourself and
everything. I mean, I do appreciate George's face when he walks in sometimes and there's something playing and he's like, "What? Why? How? Who put this on here? We need to revoke their access." Like, nope, too bad.
Have you got one person in the room then who's got awful taste in music?
Oh, that'd probably be me. 100%.
Oh, is it you?
Oh, 100% probably me. I have not put anything on the list specifically because I don't want to impose it on other people.
That down.
Oh, no, I'm sure they'd probably let you get away with it.
I mean, I don't know. I like them. I want them to keep liking me, so I'm not taking any risks here.
Well, I mean, as far as your homeland goes, that they've kind of been musically guilty for years of providing guilty pleasures around the world.
We try. I mean, we've got to be known for something other than hockey.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much, you say Canada, so anyway, say right, Canada, three things, and it'll be hockey, Bryan Adams and Celine Dion. But as long as there's no My Heart Will Go On going on in the locker room, I think you're pretty safe.
I haven't heard it yet.
I can't preach. I might have put that song over a Chelmsford Cobras video when we scored a playoff winning goal a few years ago. I might have done that.
To be fair, that sounds quite apt for that sort of moment, though.
It was perfect.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful moment.
Well, guys, thank you so much for giving up some time of your evening tonight to talk about the Cambridge Kodiaks. Your sort of progression through this league so quickly has been fantastic to see, and long may it continue. So January the 6th, then, is that a home to the Peterborough Phantoms, ladies?
Saturday, 6:40 p.m., Saturday the 6th of January, Cambridge Kodiaks, Peterborough Phantoms.
Yeah.
Got to get your face off Simon and Christina. Get those plugs in.
You've got to get it done. Up at the Cambridge Ice Arena, Newmarket Road, I believe it is, in Cambridge.
That's right.
Yep, get yourselves up there for that. George, Christina, thank you so much for your time. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Sports Social Podcast Network.